Welcome to River Life Podcasts. We're a church family embracing the Father's presence, releasing empowered people to declare and demonstrate Christ's kingdom. We trust that God would use what you hear today to bless and grow you so that you would be a blessing to those around you. For more information about River Life Baptist Church, go to riverlifechurch.org.au or find us on social media.
Good morning, my name's Joe. I'm one of the pastors here. So good to have you with us. See your youth as you guys head on out. Have fun. That's good. This morning, we're in a bit of a One From the Heart series. Nope, it's not there yet. We just have the chance to kind of share what's on our hearts as a pastoral team. And so this morning, I thought I'd actually keep the conversation going that we started at Easter Sunday about the resurrection power of God. But today, I want to look at it slightly differently. Because the resurrection power of God in our lives, man, it makes all the difference. It makes all the difference. For me, I suppose my backstory is that I grew up in church, but loved the scriptures, loved the Bible, loved to just read the Bible as a kid, learned all about it, loved it to the point of probably obsession, which is probably more about my personality, anyway, that's what it is, to the point where I led a small group, a life group for a lot of years where I'd make everyone who came read the Bible cover to cover. That across 2 years, we'd read it from front to back. And every week we'd talk about whatever book was next, which everyone loved the week on Jude. Everyone hated the week on Leviticus or Isaiah because we had to cover it all in one night. I loved it. I loved it so much. And I would never give up those times I had of just digging into the Word and reading it. But then I encountered the resurrection power of God in my life. Yes, he'd already saved me and set me free. He already dwelt in me, but then I experienced him actually working in me and through me to see his kingdom come about in people's lives in a profound way that just kind of changed everything. And for me, it didn't make me stop reading the Bible. It didn't go, oh, well, that was that and it's done. No, all of a sudden the scriptures came alive in a way that I hadn't seen before. And all the stuff that I thought was, oh, I don't really get that, so I'll just kind of skip over it because I can't make it neat and tidy in my mind, all of a sudden started to come alive. And so for me, the resurrection power of God makes all the difference. Suddenly everything makes so much more sense. So I want to keep that conversation going today, and we're in this in-between time between Easter and Pentecost. We're a few weeks past Easter, a few weeks ago till the annual festival of Pentecost. But today I wanted to look at how God's resurrection power works in us individually and in us as a community in a way that maybe we don't often think about, which is the fact that he works in us to build community, a caring community that loves one another. And that's actually a supernatural thing. Because, like me, I hope you haven't been living under a rock and you know that there's stuff going on in the world, right? Anyone had a week this week where you're like, whew, I don't think 3 or 4 years ago I would have said in my life I would have a week like that, where I have to maybe do extra duties because my colleagues are all suddenly unable to be here, where I have, you know, I'm supposed to be getting on a plane to go overseas and all of a sudden I can't, things like that. Stuff happens that we wouldn't have expected, and we see the stuff on the news that, wow, how do we reconcile that to what we know of God's goodness and mercy? There's a whole lot of stuff going on. There's so much brokenness. And there's so much as we look around us, even locally. There's so much going on. There's so much need. There's such a gap between the haves and the have-nots. There's such a sense of there's just so much going on, and it feels a little bit hard and weary. What does God have to say about that? What does it look like when the people who have the riches of the universe because they know the King of the universe exist in a place where there's so much need? What if what Jesus did on the Easter weekend was supposed to actually change how we interacted with the world? We had this beautiful night, Thursday night. I got to be here for just the start of it, but a massive thanks to Scotty Wilson and Amy Cowan and our facilities team and so many others who came for our flood response forum night. It was just amazing. It was so cool to see so many community groups coming to our church to provide help to those in need. It was just amazing. It was other churches, other groups. It was just so cool to see that. It was amazing to have just people who, and we've been walking with people throughout the flood response time, and there's a lot of stuff going on in their lives, and just chatting with some of them, things actually aren't getting better yet for a bunch of them. Things are getting harder. They're hungry for a place to belong, to connect. And what if church was that place? What if the community of believers, the followers of Jesus, was the place? What would it look like? How exciting would that be? What would happen when those who are in need walk in the doors of this place? Because I am convinced that Jesus has all they need. If you're here today because you have come looking, you have come to seek something to help you where you're at, I believe Jesus has got all of the answers for everything that's going on in your life. He is the sum total response to our complete need. But what does it feel like to walk in the doors of a church? There's some new people here this morning that I got to say hi to on the way in. Wow, it's a big place to walk into. You did great to get in here. It's pretty intense. And any church you walk into, it can be quite intimidating. It can be quite confronting. What was your experience of walking in the doors of a church the first time? Did you feel welcomed and loved? Did you feel like you didn't know where to go and what to do and how to break in to say hi to people that might actually be your friends one day that actually would care for you? Was it that someone remember your name and took the time to chat to you? Those things make all the difference, and they sound super simple and super practical, but I think there's a whole lot more going on behind the scenes when we come to these things. I think part of the challenge, if I can break it in this way, I think it's hard for us, anyone, anywhere, anytime, to kind of transition between all the different things we have to do in our lives, right? So, you know, you might work, you might study, you might be raising kids, you might be just keeping everything locked down, you might actually be looking for work, you might be trying to find the next thing for you. You've got all these things you do Monday to Friday, Saturday mornings, you know, Tuesday afternoons. You've got all these different things going on. So when you come to the different things of your week and of your life, you interact differently, right? You kind of have to, like, if you're going to work, you've got to be focused, you're going to do your work, and you might not do all the stuff that you would do on a Saturday afternoon hanging out with your friends. We're not being disingenuous, we're actually just engaging with our different activities in a different way. It happens. Does that make sense? You're tracking with me here? Yeah. Yes, great, good. Okay, they will explain it to you after the service. I think what becomes complex with that is that we start to then think, well, we start to push God into certain sections of that and not other sections. So, like, he's definitely in the Sunday morning section, right? I hope. And probably in that, you know, kind of Wednesday evening if you're having a life group or whatever night you have it on. And sometimes maybe if you volunteer at street teams or something like that, he's there Saturday morning. And maybe as you start to wrestle with faith, he starts to break into other places. Maybe you work for a Christian organization or something. But we tend to just compartmentalize things just out of just how we approach things, right? The difficulty with that is that what he reveals to us in his word was never designed to sit in one compartment of our life and one moment of our week into one section of our day. And that's where it becomes confronting. I don't think we can separate it out into different sections of our week and life. And hopefully for many of you, you're going, of course, yes, I get this. That's great. Because I think what God wants to do in us as we work to know him in every part of our life is actually he creates in us this desire to contribute to the people that we're with all the time. That he starts to bring us into this faith community, this place of worship where we exalt him, we lift his name up high, and this place where we encourage one another in love, and we take those who are a little bit behind us on the journey and take them with us, and we look to those who are ahead of us on the journey and ask them the questions and ask them to show us what it looks like. We tell others about who Jesus is. In Scripture, all of that's just what you do all of the time, every time. It's not just when you're on team for juvenile detention ministry or when you're leading kids' church. It's actually all the time. And I think the challenge for us is that we are so exposed, we are so connected, we are so busy in life, that that's all a bit too much. And sometimes we find ourselves, maybe this is just me, maybe this is just my confessional. Oh Lord, it's a bit much right now. Don't think I can do that. I'm just going to step back. I'm just going to hide away. I can't answer that. I can't respond to that. I don't want to make eye contact with that person. It's all just a bit much right now. Maybe that's just me. But God has some things to say about that, which confront me every time. I know he's kind and good, and sometimes when I have excuses, he reminds me of verses. I'm like, oh, really? Come on, just give me a moment to just wallow in my misery. No, let's turn to the scriptures, because that's a very good thing to do. 1 John chapter 4, if you've got your Bible with you in whatever form you have it, grab it out. When it's all too much, God reminds me of this. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he does not know love. For he who doesn't love his brother has whom he has seen cannot love God whom he's not seen. Oh. Come on, like seriously? It's been a big week, Lord. Then I try not to think about it. It's just been Easter and he had a big week. He had the biggest week. He had the biggest week ever on my behalf and yours. I love those moments where God just captures your attention and sums it up so cleanly. Because we can be so busy about all the things that we know are good, that are worthwhile. You know, the end of Philippians, that are beautiful and good and true. We think on these things and we act on them. We know that to provide for our family and to be present for our friends and to do all that stuff is so good. It's so important. It's amazing. But in the midst of all of that, if we don't remember to love all the time, who are we listening to and who are we following? A friend of mine said to me the other day, he reminded me of the truth that we're always being formed by something. You're being formed by the world around you, or you're being formed by Jesus. I'm like, oh, come on, just give me a moment. Just let me finish that series on Netflix, and then I'll stop being conformed to the likeness of this world. Right? Ugh, it's hard. It's tough. But for the writers of the New Testament, for John and his wisdom as he is inspired by the Holy Spirit, for Paul, as we'll read in a little bit, there's just no separation. It was just all the time. It was just always there, that every opportunity there was every day as they walked through life, Jesus was with them in spirit or in person and reminded them that what he was about. Because, and this is what I get so encouraged by, that we can only give away what we've got, but when we've met Jesus, we can give away anything that he carries because we've got him. And that's as much for us as for those around us. So when I read 1 John 4, it's like, oh man, that is brutal. I did not get that right this week. Do I really love God? He says, but my supernatural love is in you. My Holy Spirit's in you. And so when you're tired, I'll give you rest. And when you're angry, I'll give you peace. And when you're upset, I'll help you work through forgiveness. Because that's what I do when I'm in your life. It's all right there. Freely we've received. Freely we can give it away. We just got to remind ourselves that we've received so much. That Easter meant we have access to everything that God has for us. And I think that's really important, because what that does in our community is profound. If you go to John chapter 13 with me, Jesus, as he's at the Last Supper, before his long prayer that starts to wrap it up, his earthly ministry, to remind us of what he's about. In John 13, he has this moment. It's one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Jesus is talking about what's about to happen in verse 31 of John 13. Judas leaves, and Jesus says, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself. I just love this moment that the most important thing is that God is glorified. He is worth it. Little ones, yet a little while I'll be with you. You'll seek me. And as I said to the Jews, so now as I say to you, where I'm going, you can't come. Like, what? But this is what he says. Verse 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You're also to love one another. Like, wow. Because he knows. The same Holy Spirit that's in him is going to tell John later on, you can't say you love God who you can't see and not love the people that you can see. So he's saying love each other because that's what it looks like. But the bit that captures me and the bit that I think is actually starts to become the working of the resurrection power of Jesus is the next verse, verse 35. By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. A disciple looks like their master. A disciple is formed and conformed and transformed into the likeness of the one that they follow. The world will know what Jesus looks like by our love for one another. So, then, if we look around, what does Jesus look like? Your love for other people, their love for you, the way that we conduct ourselves, the way that we interact with the people around us, supposed to make people see Jesus. This is what God's been just laying on my heart. What does Jesus look like to someone when I interact with them? Because if I say I follow him, if I say that I worship him and that I want to be like him, then when I'm talking to them, is that what they think Jesus looks like? Because some days I'm like, thank you, Lord. Other days I'm like, oh no. Oh no. Lord, I did not get that right. I don't think that people saw you today in my life. What does it look like? What have you experienced of Jesus from the people around you? Because this is what starts to stir up in the community. And this is why I think the supernatural resurrection power of God needs to work in us so that community works, because we can't separate our worship. There's no distinction between worship as an expression of love to God, discipleship, this one another love, that's the natural overflow of our worship. And so we desire to demonstrate that love in a way that other people know about him, right? This is how it should all work together. And it's so important to the point where Jesus said, they will see me by how you love each other. Oh, what a simple opportunity, right? Like, it's so important to declare and demonstrate the reality of the good news of Jesus. Tell people who he is, show them what he's like. But we can do it just by how we love each other. I don't know about you, but like, that takes a lot of pressure off if we can just love each other well, right? Or is that just me? How are we going? You with me? You're tracking? Good. I'm hoping that the Lord's stirring up something in you that you're thinking about. What does this look like in my life? What does this mean for how I go about my day? Because as I love someone else, other people see Jesus. Because it's got to mean something for each one of us, right? There's no point for just me to talk about it for me and go, isn't it nice that you could be here while I process this for myself? It's got to mean something for us as a community. It's got to land somewhere. So it's simple, but I don't think it's easy. Right? Because it's easy, we'd probably already be doing it. And I see it happen, and I see fruit from it. But what would happen if we all carried this? If we all saw others like this? What a powerful expression of community it would be. What would happen as people walked into that? So, simple brass tacks, we're all able to love one another, right? Yep. Good. Everyone hates it when I do this, so you're going to do it anyway. Look at the person beside you. You can love that person, probably sitting with your family members. For some of you, you're like, that's easy. Others, you're like, don't make me look at them. Look the other way now. Look across the aisle, maybe. You're allowed to love those people on the other side. Like this is it. Like that's how simple it is. You don't have to be a pastor or an elder or a volunteer. You don't have to be wearing a green shirt to love someone else. Everyone gets to do it. However, it's not always easy. Because you probably looked across the aisle and thought, don't want to catch that person's eye. Oh, don't look at them. I was really not loving the other week and I haven't really cleaned up that mess yet. I think I'm doing all right. I'm looking around trying to see who do I need to apologize to. But that's the reality of it, right? That the vision, when we love each other well, is powerful because, you know, when we do that well, this community moves from a bunch of people who kind of have some shared ideas to actually starts to feel like what a healthy family should feel like. That I'm known, that I'm loved, that when I come here, someone knows me and cares about me. It becomes a place where being nice to someone isn't an obligation. Right? How good would that be? I suppose it would be nice to them. Becomes a place where you love people even if you're not on a roster. Like, yes, come on, how good would that be? I mean, it's so good that we roster people on to love others, like we prioritize it so much. But we don't outsource our love to those people, right? Just like we don't outsource our personal prayer to our prayer team. It's like we don't outsource our scripture reading to our life group leaders or to the podcasts we listen to. We have people who are called and equipped to break into new places for us, to support us as a community, but we can't get someone else to do our loving for us. How good is that? Everyone gets to play. You know, for me, in all of this, I think actually just being able to listen to people is so important. I can tell when I'm distracted. I can tell when I've got another priority. And I'm trying to talk to someone. And if that was you this morning, because I had to keep an eye on the foyer, I'm sorry. I know I was distracted and I was trying to make eye contact. But man, stopping and listening. It's so powerful. In fact, I might have shared this before, being heard is so close to being known that it's sometimes no different. I was doing some pre-marriage with the young couple, some pre-marriage counseling. We're just doing some really basic things around just speaking and being heard, active listening. And one of them just broke down in tears when their partner repeated back to them what they said. And they said, I think that's the first time I've ever felt like I've actually been heard. For that person, that made all the difference. What does it mean for us to stop long enough to just hear people? Talking to a friend of mine who pastors at another church in a different denomination, he said, we're just talking about this whole thing. We're just throwing ideas around. What does it look like for you guys? And he said, the Lord spoke to him a little while ago. He said, you've been trying to raise evangelists, not pastor people. Sorry, not evangelists, sorry. This is Freudian slip. You've been trying to raise up extroverts, not pastor people. Clearly my head, extroverts and evangelists go together. It's because I work with Claudine. There she is. Yeah. But that can be our problem, right? Is that we sometimes don't have a grid for what it should look like. That, well, if, to love someone else, I've got to be an extrovert. And extroverts are easy when you're in any leadership role. If any of you have ever in work, in volunteering, extroverts are an answer to prayer, right? They're the icebreakers. They're human icebreakers. They're walking kind of conversation starters. And I've got some great friends and we're all introverts. And if the three of us get together, and I'm the most extroverted of us. So I'm like, oh, now I have to start a conversation. I'm a socialized introvert. I love being around people, but that for me is what I'll get to in a moment about what the Holy Spirit can do in our lives. But man, we've got to find this. So we sometimes think, well, to be loving others, you've got to be an extrovert. And for me, when the Lord works in my life, he does empower me to step out of myself and to speak to people, to walk up to people I've never met before and just initiate a conversation, because I know that they're worth it, because Jesus is worth it. And that's the supernatural power of God working in my life. Not to make me an extrovert, but to help me to pay attention. And I think it works for extroverts too. The supernatural power of God in your life might look like taking the time to stop and listen and focus and hear and reflect. Because what I think the Lord wants to empower us to do is to be present for the people that he's bringing to us. Because you can look around this room, I guarantee you there is someone in here that the Lord today has appointed for you to go and love and encourage and make them feel connected. And there'll be someone as you walk out of this place, where you're buying lunch on the way home, having a coffee, whatever it is, whether you're getting petrol in your car, there's going to be someone that the Lord has set aside that you can just share his love with. Like, that's the supernatural power of God that we see and we respond to these moments. And I know it's supernatural because the scripture tells us it is. Would you go to Philippians chapter 2 with me? Again, this is my other favorite passage. In the first 11 verses of Philippians chapter 2, I think paint the picture of the fact that this community that we're invited into is a supernatural expression of God's love. That what Jesus did on Easter morning as he rose from the grave and made a way for the Holy Spirit to live in us, to set us free and reconcile us to the Father, is so that he could work in us and through us and the world would see what he's like. And he says it to Paul like this in Philippians. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, if there's any comfort from love, if there's any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind. So being loving, participate, all those things. Being in full accord in unity of one mind. Verse 3, and this is where it becomes supernatural. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. But in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Wow. What would that look like? Let each of you look not only to your own interests, but to the interests of others. That's supernatural. That is not our natural state. That is not our default response, right? To be other than our natural state is to be supernatural, outside of natural, more than natural. The work of the Holy Spirit in our lives is to empower us to go, I don't have to do that to get ahead. I don't have to do that to protect myself. I don't have to do that to look good and to prove to people I'm worthy. I don't have to do any of that for any of those reasons. I can actually just put people first. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. If you know Jesus, you have this. All of these things, humility, putting others' interests before yourselves. And he explains it in verse 6. As Jesus showed us, because he was in the very form of God, but he didn't count equality with God a thing to be grasped. He could actually just empty himself. He took on the form of a servant. He was born into the likeness of men, created beings, the Creator. And then being found in human form, he humbled himself even more by becoming obedient to the point of death. In fact, to the most humiliating death, a death on the cross, like a common thief or a rebel. Because of this, God has exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of the Father. It's supernatural when we put each other first. So it's simple. We just got to let Jesus be Lord. We've just got to surrender our lives to him. We've just got to put him first, because in putting him first, His Holy Spirit works in us to put others first. And in God's amazing economy, if I put all of you first, then you're putting all of us first. And you're putting all of us first. And you guys have put all of us first. And we start here, and it flows on out. And so no one finds themselves alone. No one on their day where they are falling apart and barely holding it together finds themselves left to sit by themselves. The extroverts can take the time to stop and listen and hear and pray and care one-on-one. And the introverts can initiate a conversation and say, hey, how are you today? The supernatural power of God works in community, and all of a sudden we become this place that looks, sounds, and tastes, and smells, and feels like family. If you struggle to love others, that is awesome, because that's an invitation for the Holy Spirit to work in your life. How exciting is that? That when we see these things, when we come up against these barriers, man, that is an invitation to go, oh, Jesus, I'm going to experience a whole new side of you that I haven't got yet. Wow. Wow. How exciting is that? And I guarantee there's people in this room who do this. I know you, I see you. And there's a whole bunch of people that I have don't know well enough to know that you do, but I'm sure you do. But I can you ask anyone that those moments where you can just be with someone, where you can love them well, when the work of Jesus in your life flows into their life, man, is the most fulfilling thing. To see someone experience the peace of Jesus, the joy of the Father, healing or freedom or just the knowledge that they are loved. Oh, it is so fulfilling. It makes it all worthwhile. And there's people who get that. There's actually people who have to say, hey, please, like, if you keep serving in so many spots, there's not going to be spaces for other people. Because when people catch a hold of this, man, they just want to serve. They just want to give. They just want to pour their time into it because, man, it seems almost like you're doing it out of selfishness because you're like, well, I get so much out of this when I give it away. But God works in it and he restores us and refreshes us. Makes you come alive. But why it's not simple too is that we can't do it out of religious obligation or pressure, just because I'm standing up here saying, hey, you should love each other. It's like, you know what it's like. If you had a sibling or a close friend growing up and you fought and someone older than you said, hey, you two, be nice to each other. I love you. How are you today? But Paul says, don't do anything out of this obligation. Don't do it because you're coerced to do it. In fact, if it's not like Jesus, just don't do it. But I truly believe that when we encounter the presence of the risen Christ, man, he does something in us, and all of a sudden, when we worship him, we can love others. It's so powerful. It's so simple. John actually qualifies that verse, which cuts me deep every time. If you love God and don't love those around you, then you're a liar. Like what he says right before that, and I love this, and it gets me every time. We love because he first loved us. All of this, any of this, from the healing that happened last Sunday and through the week, from the extension of love and affection to people in our community who are impacted by the flood, to the time that people spent this week in small groups, to in kids ministry, and all of the outreach activities in juvenile detention, all of these things are because he loved us first. And today I'm convinced he wants to love you again. He wants to love you more, because out of his love, everything else makes sense. It's really simple. We love him, and he empowers us to love others. He opens our eyes to see. He actually makes it so intense. He says, submit to one another out of love. Let's just start with being polite to one another. I don't expect anyone to submit yet. But it's an expression of God's heart in us. So I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet if you would. I want to pray for us and give us a chance to respond to what the Lord might be stirring in us. There's all sorts of opportunities to respond to him. But it starts with us just knowing his love. Picking up those words of Paul. And God, I don't want to do anything out of any reason other than love for you. So let me pray for you. Would you close your eyes? Would you bow your heads? Would you, if you're willing, maybe just posture yourself physically to maybe just interact with God. Maybe that's with your hands in front of you. Maybe that's with your head bowed. Whatever it is you need to do, just to be aware that this is you and Jesus connecting. If you're at home, maybe this is the time to turn the TV louder and ask the kids to be quiet. If you're watching online. But let's pray. Lord Jesus, I am thankful that you gave yourself for us. I thank you that you were raised out of the grave to new and eternal life. And I thank you, Lord, that you've done that for each one of us here that calls you Lord. Jesus, your desire is that the world would see what you're like by our love for one another. The part of what you purchased on the cross is the freedom to care. The freedom to sacrificially love others without having to worry about providing for ourselves, because that's your responsibility. And so, Jesus, I ask that you would break fear in us today. God, I sense that there's a lot of fear because of the season that we've been in, of the seasons that we've been through in our lives, of the things that we've had to endure. There was fear that if we love others, Lord, there's not going to be enough left in the tank for us. But I know, Holy Spirit, you want to pour the love of the Father into our lives. Love that will never run out. Love that will never go stale, that will never fail us. And so, God, would you just pour your love afresh into us now? By your Holy Spirit, would you come and would you let your perfect love break fear in our lives? Lord Jesus, I sense in some of us there is a weariness. There's a load that we've been carrying for maybe our friends or our family or our colleagues. Jesus, I know that today you want to give us a burden that is easy and a yoke that is light, that your way, Lord, is not one that will break us, but one that will fulfill us. And so, Holy Spirit, even right now, over the people who are carrying a load, would you break that? Would you break our selfish mindsets to think that we are the ones who can save people, and would you let us trust you? Open-handed. And Lord, for those of us who carry offense, those who don't want to love others because we haven't been loved well, I thank you, Jesus, that you represent the Father to us, the one who will never leave us nor forsake us, who will never condemn us. And you, out of your perfect love and care for us, tell us that it's better to forgive than to hold on. So would you empower us, Holy Spirit, to forgive, to release today our offenses and our hurts. Release them to you, Lord, that you would heal and restore us. And I thank you, Lord, that as you set us free, Lord, we are truly free. And in this place, Holy Spirit, you empower us. That the love of the Father comes out of us like an unending river of life. And so would you come and move in this room, Holy Spirit? Would you come and work in our lives? Would you come and stir something in us, Lord? That we would see you, Jesus, the resurrected Messiah, and know that we are free to love, free to give, free to receive all that you have for us and give it away. So would you come, Lord? Come minister in our lives as we worship you, as we lift your name high. Holy Spirit, would you remind us every step of our day that you have set us free to love.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that you're doing in this place, Lord. And I thank you that as you work in our lives, Lord, you're going to bring people to you. The hardest people, the furthest people, the places that we think, God, we want to see breakthrough and hope, and it's just not possible in our strength, Lord. You will work miracles, and you're already doing it. And so we say, Lord, more. If it takes our lives humbled to see them set free, God, then would you do it? Thank you, Jesus, for all that you're doing and all that you will do. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this River Life podcast. Make sure you subscribe to keep up to date with all the latest content. If this podcast has raised any questions for you, contact us via church@riverlifechurch.org.au or through Facebook and Instagram. Thanks for listening.